Hey there, I'm Susan Masika in Bern. In this edition of the Swiss Info program, we take a literary tour of Basel with the author of The Gilded Chalet.
Hi, I'm Porrick Rooney, and I'm author of The Gilded Chalet, which is a book about literary Switzerland and a whole range of writers who passed through Switzerland from Rousseau and the Romantics right down to the late 20th century.
The book covers just about every writer who ever spent time in Switzerland. Not just their work, but also their private lives, which were often quite wild. I met Rooney at the Papiermühle, Basel's paper mill and literary museum. As you can hear in the background, its mill still spins with the water of the Rhine River, and every Friday, they still make paper there. It's where Rooney and I started our walking tour of Basel, and it's also where he got the idea for his book.
It was the 400th anniversary of the passage of the Earls of Ulster through Basel on their way south to Rome. That's why I was here, and I began to think that those earls must have had to pass not far from St. Albans to get to the road south across the mountains. So then I thought, hey, if I could make use of that as a starting point for my book.
He's referring to the flight of the earls, when a group of Irish noblemen left Ireland after losing the 9 years' war against English rule. Like the earls and the scribe who accompanied them, Rooney is also from Ulster. More precisely, from County Monaghan in Ireland. Our stroll along the Rhine kicked off a trip down memory lane.
I grew up 2 kilometres south of the Northern Irish border in a fairly traditional Irish Catholic family, right in the middle of the Troubles. I was 12 when the civil rights movement started to activate in 1967-68. And so my whole adolescence was spent a mile from the border. Friends of mine died, family members died, family members joined up various organizations, and so I feel I've had a very intimate experience with all of that.
I mean, 1970s Ireland was a fairly grim place, at least in my view. It was before economic development, it was before the whole resurgence of the Irish economy and in the 90s, in the early part of this century, so it was just sometimes seems like another place.
When Rooney first arrived in Basel in 1973, he was a teenager taking a summer vacation. He got a room, a job, and tickets to see the Rolling Stones in Bern.
I do remember that bridge there when it was being built. I think it was sometime around 1973, because my first address in Basel was in Schwarzwald Allee, which is just on the northern side of the river there. So I used to walk along this path when I was 16, 17, and did a little bit of punting on the river as well at that time.
And at that time, the author preferred the brush to the pen. As he explains, he especially liked the city's older buildings.
When I was 17, I used to go around the city sketching them at the weekend and in the evenings. The sculpture outside the Three Ages of Man, just outside the Kunstmuseum, and some of the things you see above doors.
If Rooney sounds a bit breathless, it's because we had been walking at a brisk pace for about a kilometre, including the steep steps leading up to the Wettstein Bridge. We crossed that bridge over the river and moved on to cute little Klein Basel. After years of travelling, teaching and writing poetry, Rooney found himself back there in 2002, this time as head of the English department at the International School.
And when I came back here as a middle-aged teacher, I just remember stopping every now and again in the city and thinking, oh, I remember that. I remember being in this area before. There was a pretty strong feeling of déjà vu sometimes.
And what about the sketching, the painting?
That went by the wayside in my 30s. The writing took over and I was doing fairly large canvases at the time and moving around, so they were difficult to move, difficult to transport. So I've always been arty, unashamedly so.
Rooney wasn't the only person to find artistic inspiration in Klein Basel's old town. German author Hermann Hesse wrote Steppenwolf in room 401 of the Kraft Hotel. There's even a small metal wolf face beside the hotel's front door, which served as a good photo op for me and Rooney. Then we took a seat on the hotel terrace overlooking the Rhine.
As far as we know, this is where Hermann Hesse wrote some part of his novel Steppenwolf, which is set in an unnamed river town somewhere in Germany. Switzerland, he doesn't quite identify, but I think it has quite a few features of Basel. And his marriage to a Basel lady was breaking up at the time. I associate this hotel with him, but I also associate nighttime Basel and the foggy river and the River Rhine with his writing.
Like Hesse, Rooney appreciates the atmosphere surrounding river towns like Basel.
I rather like the atmosphere of these southern German, northern Swiss river towns that don't quite belong to Switzerland, don't quite belong to Germany, even though we're in Switzerland here, where there's always a bridge across the water. And they have a particular atmosphere that transcends the country they're in, and I think Hermann Hesse recognized that. And he spent quite a bit of time in Basel. He went drinking across the river in the bars around Schifflinde and Fischmarkt.
We got up and retraced Hesse's footsteps as we crossed the 800-year-old Mittlere Bridge, one of the oldest Rhine crossings between Lake Constance and the North Sea. It brought us to Schifflinde and Fischmarkt, where there's a beautiful Gothic fountain painted in red and gold. We leaned on the fountain's basin as the city's green trams squeaked by. Rooney pointed out another spot with links to Hesse.
It was the restaurant Zum Helm, just there to the right of those steps. So all of that has been remodeled because of the car park and the rather awful 60s building to the right of it. But that's where a number of scenes in Steppenwolf, according to me, were kind of modeled on the restaurant Zum Helm, which was there.
That side of the river is also home to the Grand Hotel Trois-Rois, or Three Kings, as Rooney calls it. The hotel's guest register is a literary who's who.
When Byron travelled south to Geneva, he stopped off here, even though I did investigate to see whether they had records going back that far, but they don't, certainly not for Byron. And then all the major writers of the 19th and 20th century spent time in the Three Kings. It was a stopping off point once you'd come south along the Rhine and before you tackled the Alpine crossings. One of the more interesting ones is the writer Stephen Crane, who wrote The Red Badge of Courage. He was suffering from tuberculosis when he came to the Three Kings, and he was given a room at the top floor, but he was so ill that I think he was asked to leave.
And he died a few weeks later in a German spa town. But other writers fared better at the posh hotel.
Thomas Mann spent a bit of time in this hotel. He remembers coming here, I think it was 1939, and hearing marching music in the streets, and he was escaping. No, perhaps it was 1933. He was escaping from the rise of Nazism in Germany and began his exile both in Switzerland and in California. And then in the early 1950s, Patricia Highsmith came through Basel with her girlfriend of the time, and she had just published her first novel, which had been picked up by Alfred Hitchcock, Strangers on a Train, and he had filmed that, and that had just been released before she arrived here. And so she was flush with a little bit of money, young 28-year-old writer, just about to embark on her third novel, The Blunderer.
We got off the sidewalk and ducked inside the lobby, admiring the elegant interior with its chandeliers, as Rooney spoke highly of Highsmith.
Patricia Highsmith, when she came through in 1951, spent Christmas here, and I think they had a goose dinner in the dining room, and she describes in her diaries, which are now in the Swiss Literary Archives in Bern, the view from her window and the Rhine running quickly by, and then she goes for a walk up the hill to the Munster. She was quite an observant writer. She wrote everything down in quite a lot of detail. Her diaries are quite fascinating.
It seems like a lot of the writers featured in your book, they must have been pretty wealthy if they were able to afford to travel in Switzerland, stay in some very good hotels, dine in some very good restaurants, or rent houses by various lakes. How can you account for that? Because often we hear of the starving artist.
No, I don't think Switzerland has necessarily been the home of the starving artist. Perhaps James Joyce would be the exception when he came here at the beginning of his career. But that was quite a different Joyce from the one who came in 1940-41. At the end of his career, he died here. He wasn't wealthy by any means, but certainly his years of penury were behind him.
Speaking of James Joyce, his haunts would be a must on a literary tour of Switzerland.
If you were to very quickly give an itinerary for the person who maybe only has a week in Switzerland, what would be the highlights?
I would head to the Odeon Café in Zurich, where Joyce and Vladimir Lenin used to drink. I would head up to the Flintern Cemetery and pay a visit to James Joyce's grave. Then I think I would get on the train and head down to Geneva and wander around the lake and look at the Villa Diodati and just soak up the atmosphere of the town, visit the Rousseau Museum there, and on the way back pop into Lausanne and head down to Uchi, to the Hotel d'Angleterre, where Byron wrote The Prisoner of Chillon, that famous poem that kick-started 19th century tourism around the lake. And from there, I would, if I was feeling energetic, I would walk along the lake shore to Montreux. It's about, from Uchi to Montreux is about an hour and a half, I think, but if you were lazy, you could take the ferry. And I would have coffee in the Montreux Palace Hotel, where Vladimir Nabokov spent the last 16 years of his life. And from there, I would hop on the train down to Ticino, the Italian part of Switzerland, and I would go and stay in the Hotel Garni Barbette in the Valle Maggia, which is just 5 minutes from where Patricia Highsmith is immured in the little cemetery there, and 5 minutes from her house, and where the great essayist and philosopher of the Holocaust, Hannah Arendt, used to stay there. And there's a little seat in the garden of that guest house where she used to like to sit and write. And on and on and on. There are lots and lots of places.
Phew, that's quite an itinerary. Our last stop in Basel was the public library, which recently moved into an ornate three-building complex dating back to the 16th century. Of course, it's got nearly all the titles mentioned in Rooney's book.
Well, I suppose a copy of your book will end up in this library.
Well, I hope so. Several.
I just love this. When it was an old square, and I just love the renovation project. I can't remember who the architect is who handled this, but it's a beautiful mix modern and old. It's 400 or 500 years old, that building. Look at the stained glass at the top. And they have wonderful reading rooms up on the top floor. Really quiet, except I never get into them. Working too much.
Well, I hope you're not working too much and that you've got time for a bit of reading. In fact, you can read more about Rooney and the Gilded Chalet on swissinfo.ch. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Daniel Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika.